Well, good morning. How are you guys? Are you doing well? I'm excited to be here, have this opportunity to share the Word of God, but I'm also thankful for Pastor Jim giving me this opportunity and allowing me to share with you this morning. I grew up in Liberia, West Africa. When I was 4 years old, my parents, who felt the call to missions, decided we were going to Liberia, and I don't even remember that part, but off we went, and so I grew up in the jungles of Liberia. It was a wonderful upbringing. I was able to participate in missions. I saw missions. My life was about missions, and I counted a privilege that we were able to grow up there. Many years later, I remember getting sick with malaria and some other unknown tropical virus, so who knows what I have now. But In Liberia, everybody has malaria, but this time it was really bad. I ended up in the hospital, and I remember at night in the hospital, they said no one could stay with me in the room, and so, of course, my parents went home, so I'm laying there in this hospital bed with malaria, and I'm sick, and all of a sudden, I started really getting scared. Have anybody been afraid of dying? Okay, maybe it was just me, but I was scared. I was thinking, what if I died? What would happen to me? And like any kid who's been brought up in church who knew the gospel, I knew what would happen to me. I knew that I was not a follower of Jesus. I was not a part of God's family, even though I'd heard the gospel over and over again. And so I started bargaining with God, and I was like, God, if you will just get me out of here, I will turn my life over to you. A week later, I was at home recovering. God did his part, but I didn't do my part. I started being really embarrassed. I was thinking, how can I go in front of the church and say, I want to follow Jesus? I mean, I'm like the missionary kid. And so I was embarrassed. My parents said they knew I was under conviction because I used to sit up here right near the front. And when my dad would preach and he would offer the invitation for people to get saved, I would like grab onto the pew in front of me and lower my head. And each Sunday, I just kept going further and further back. Ended up in that next to last row. I'm not preaching, you guys. I'm just telling you what happened to me. But I was just trying to move away because I could feel that conviction in my heart. And ended up back there, and just so happened that my friend Jacob was sitting right next to me that particular Sunday. And Jacob was a new believer, just a couple years older than me. And I've talked to him since then, and he doesn't even remember that. But I think the Lord just prompted him. But he asked me a question. He said, Joel, have you been baptized? And I knew what he was really saying is, Joel, have you given your life to Christ? Man, I wanted to lie so bad, because I was embarrassed. But you know, if you tell a lie, you got to stick with it. You're stuck. And I didn't want to be stuck. And so I had the courage somehow to say, I'm not. And he said three words I'll never forget. He said, you should today. And that was the day that I just said, yep, you're right. And I went down, I took my dad's hand and said, Dad, I want to be saved. I want to turn my life over to Christ. So when we got home, we went in my bedroom, my dad set my brother and I down, and we just, he said, I know you guys know the gospel, but let me explain it one more time, that we've all sinned, and our sin has separated us from God. But that's why Jesus came. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And he offers us new life if we will trust him. We will repent of our sins and trust him and place our faith in him. He'll save you and change your life. And I did that day, and my life was different, never the same. I've never been afraid since then. Know that I have eternal life. Know I'm a part of God's family. And I'm thankful that Jacob set an example, even as a young man, of just encouraging me, Joel, what about you? And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is the idea of setting an example. I've been in full-time ministry, serving with the International Mission Board for 27 years. God has been so faithful to my wife and I. We've had the chance to see people come to Christ. We've had the chance to disciple tons of people, been a part of planning churches. And right now my job is to help train and orient new missionaries before they go to the mission field. But I want to share with you something that I've learned from God's word over these years, that regardless of what stage you're in, regardless of how old you are, regardless of your education, your ability, or your talents, I promise you this sermon will apply to you. I have confidence in that because it's God's word. And we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So turn in your Bibles if you have one. 1 Timothy 4, 11 through 16. But Paul is writing to young Timothy, his missionary colleague. He had invited Timothy, this young man, to be a part of his missionary team. And at some point, it seems that he sent Timothy back to the church at Ephesus to encourage him and to fill in some gaps that had been left there. And he wrote to Timothy as a young man. And so we want to read these verses and let God speak to us. Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to, are you going to apply whatever you hear? Because it's not me. We're talking about the Word of God. I hope you're ready to apply God's Word. Let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift which you were given through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would just take it and impress it on each one of our hearts this morning. Just kind of get me out of the way and let your word just pierce us where we need it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus this morning on verse 12. We're just going to be looking at one verse. And here's the focus of this message. And if you get nothing else, get this. Paul is saying, set an example. And that's the challenge to each one of us, is to set an example. And what does that mean, set an example? Well, first, you are an example. We all are an example. We influence people. I read online that there's 3 to 5 people who are watching you closely, who are influencing your life. It doesn't matter if you think you're influencing or not. You are an example. I remember years ago, only old people know this one, but I love basketball. And back in the day, one of my favorite players was Charles Barkley. And he came out with this commercial with Nike, and it said, I am not your role model. And I'm thinking, Charles, let me help you, bro. You're just missing one word. I am not a good role model. You're a role model. You're just not a good one. But you know, it doesn't matter what your age, your stage of life, or where you are in it. You are a role model. You are an example. You are an influence. So we are an influence on others. We are setting an example. The question is not if you are an example or not. The question is, what kind of example are you? So number one, we need to realize that we are setting example. Number two, we need to be intentional in setting an example. I learned this when I was discipling university students in India and Mexico, and I would tell them, I'll disciple you with 2 conditions. Number one, that you obey whatever God's word says, because God's word is our authority. God's word gets to tell us what to do. And number two, that you will help someone else do what I'm doing for you. Because, you know, that's what discipleship is, really. It's helping other people follow Jesus like we do. And so we need to be intentional in setting example. I remember when I was serving in India, there was a guy there, his name was Kenneth Kizito. He was Ugandan, studying, getting a master's degree in our city in India. And Kenneth said, I want you to disciple me. And of course, I told him those two things. And we were discipling Kenneth, and he was in a group. And I was like, Kenneth, there's so many other Ugandan students here. You got to start a group for those Ugandan students. And so we worked with him, and he started a group. And then he went back to Uganda and did the same thing there. And I saw him years later in the Dallas area. And he said, "That you know what, how you told me to start a group? That's what I did. I did the exact same thing." And when I started asking him about it, I realized he did the exact same thing. He taught the same scriptures. He gave the same illustrations, even if they weren't his. We sang the same songs. Might not have been appropriate for that culture, but I didn't realize that when we are an example, we can be intentional and literally influence people. That sometimes doesn't work out well, because sometimes our children hear what we say and repeat what we say, and that can be embarrassing. So number one, we need to set an example. And number two, we need to be intentional in setting examples. In Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Man, that's heavy stuff right there. Let me ask you, can you say that? I got to ask myself, can I say that? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Let's look at how Paul says in verse 12, we are to be an example. And he teaches us five different ways to be an example. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. All right, here we go. Paul wants us to be example. The first area is in speech. I try to be careful how I talk, but if I'm honest with you guys, sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes I've criticized people. Sometimes I've complained. Have anybody caught themselves criticizing someone or complaining? And God has convicted me about that, because everybody around me is listening to me. My wife and my kids listen to me. The people that I train listen to me. I'm their example. So here's the question. Am I being an example with my speech? Am I criticizing or am I complaining? When I think of someone who is an example in speech, I think of my friends Ed and Joy. They're in their 70s. Melissa and I've stayed in their house over 10 times. They always have a smile. They're always encouraging. Ed's been the chairman of the deacons in his church. Joy's led the WMU. They've held lots of positions. But the thing I love about Ed and Joy, besides just their servant's heart, is you just don't hear them complaining and criticizing people. It doesn't mean they don't agree. That they agree with everything people say, but you don't hear them criticizing and complaining. They have been an example to me in the area of speech because they've encouraged me. Are you an example to those around you who are watching your life in the area of speech? Let me just challenge you. Does your speech need to be adjusted a little bit to be a better example? I want you to think about that as we go forward. Second area we want to talk about this morning that Paul asks us to be an example is in our conduct. I told you I love playing basketball, and I remember we had a basketball team in Liberia, and we had this big game, and it was one of those games where we were playing hard, but we weren't winning, and guess who we blamed? The referee. We were yelling at him. We were criticizing him. He was cheating us. We knew he was cheating us. And we were criticizing and yelling at him. And we got home, and my dad called my brother and I into the room, and he said, "Boys," he said, "you really hurt your testimony tonight." Man, that cut me. And he said, "The way you guys acted out there, that's not like the Jesus you say you follow. You can't act like that on the basketball court and say you're a follower of Jesus. Man, that hurt. Because I realize that you can talk all you want, you can come to church, be a great person, but if your conduct out in life does not reflect the fact that you belong to Jesus, you're not setting the kind of example. And I realized he was right and we had to repent. Can I ask you, does your life in community and around the people you're around, around the people that you work with or you go to school with or you hang out with or you live with, is your conduct an example of Christ? Let's look at number three. Paul says we need to be an example in speech. He says we need to be an example in conduct. And then he says we need to be an example of love. I'm going to do a little audience participation here. Jim saw me do that and he didn't run me off, so I think it's okay. But here's what we're going to do. How many of you have received a text or a phone call or a word of encouragement or a gift or an act of kindness from someone in this church? Would you raise your hand? I knew that was going to be true all over the congregation because that's who we are. That's some of the ways that we show love, and that is incredible. That because, you know, love, like the old DC Talk song, love is a verb. It's what we do. It's how we live. And Paul says we need to be examples of love. You know, I was just thinking about my parents, and you know, after they had served in Liberia for 30 years and they came back, we had the funeral for my mom about a month ago. And one of the refrains that came out in the funeral and even in the online messages that all of mom's Liberian friends posted was, Earl and Jane love the people of Liberia well. And that encouraged me because we need to love people well. That's setting the example. So let me ask you, are you an example of setting, are you an example of loving those around you? You know, in John chapter 13, Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Paul even encouraged us and he said, let your love abound more and more. And in Galatians chapter 6, he's like, man, do good to everyone, but especially those of the household of faith. And that's what we're about, is loving one another and loving those who are outside. Is God speaking to you at all about the example of how you love well? You know that people have loved you well. So what about you? Are we, and what about me? Am I loving well? Paul says we should be an example in speech. Paul says we should be an example in conduct. Paul says we should be an example in love. And number four, Paul says we should be an example of faith. When I think of someone who set an example of faith in my life, I think of Anthony Jonah. Anthony Jonah was a Liberian man. He worked for the mining company in the town where we lived in Liberia. And he was a foreman making good money. And my dad saw him one day and their paths crossed and he shared the gospel with him. And Anthony Jonah gave his life to Christ. And man, his life changed overnight. He was the very first deacon that we ordained in our church where we were where dad was providing leadership at the time. And as Anthony grew in his love for the Lord, he said, I think God is calling me to be a pastor. And even as an older gentleman, he said, I need to get equipped. I want to get trained. So he went to the Liberian Baptist Seminary, and then he got trained there. And he could have pastored a bigger church, but he didn't. He came back to the little village where he lived before outside of town, and he said, I'm going to pastor Redeemer Baptist Church. When I was back in Liberia in March, I preached at the Liberian Baptist Seminary, and Dr. Mamalu Masakoi, the president of the seminary, we were just talking and eating some good Liberian food, and he said, you know, I don't know if you know it or not, he said, but Anthony Jonah witnessed to me and led me to Christ. I'm here because of that man. He's just from a common little village. And he said, and your dad mentored me. Anthony Jonah discipled me. Man, Anthony probably was making 10 times what he made as the pastor of that church. I think his salary was like $150 a month. And he's just living, you know, supporting a family. He and his wife started an orphanage. But he preached, you know, and I got to stand in the pulpit where he was for many years. And everybody knew how he impacted, because how he impacted that community, because he was a man of faith. Man, he encouraged me. Anthony Jonah set an example for me of living a life of faith. What about you? Are you living a life of faith? Are you trusting God for what only He can do? Or do we try to solve all our problems ourselves without looking to God? Are we saying, God, I want to be a person of faith? Let's look at number 5. Paul says we need to also set an example in the area of purity. You know, just thinking about what that looks like. And I think in the area of purity, one of the areas that we need to set an example is our online presence. How we go online, what we allow our eyes to see, what we fill our minds with, because that's an example of purity. Are we filling our minds? Are we looking at things we shouldn't look at? Are we taking in things that are impacting our minds? What about what we watch on TV? What about what we see at the movies? I remember when I was in college, it was pre-internet, it was a couple years ago, and we all went to this movie, and we were just going to go to the movies, and we got there, you know, it was one of those 99-cent theaters. We don't have those anymore, I don't think. But it was a 99-cent theater for Saturday afternoon. It was like, let's go to the movies. We went, we got there, and I realized the movie we were going to see was probably going to be inappropriate. But I didn't back out. I was with my friends, you know. And so we went in there, and sure enough, it got into the movies, and all of a sudden I realized, I shouldn't be watching this. This is inappropriate. And I thought, should I leave? But I didn't leave. I just sat there. And pretty quick, another girl that was at the movies in our group, she got up and walked out. And I'm like, oh. And so I followed her, and we went out, and she and I, we just talked for the rest of the movie. But I wish I would have set an example for her, but she set the example for me. Are we guarding our minds in the area of purity? Are we watching things that man, if God were there, we would be embarrassed. I remember one time Melissa and I went to a movie, and we didn't know much about this movie, and the pastor of our church in Louisiana sat right behind us with his wife. Do you feel uncomfortable when your pastor sits right behind you at the movies? It was like, I was like, okay, please, no bad stuff. You know, but the bottom line is, what about when no one's around you? Are you setting an example in your life in the area of purity? I want to share one example of a person who set an example and helped me, and that's a friend of mine named Mark. And his life was an example. He's been a great friend to me, but he became the vice president, not the vice, he became the treasurer of the Bank of America. And at one time, he was the chief risk officer for all of Europe and Asia. He was working out of the London office. And, you know, it was 2008, 2007, 2008, right in the middle of that housing crisis. The banks were about to go under, you know. And anyway, he was leading a team, and this one guy who had like a master's in finance and from Harvard, I think it was Harvard, it could have been Yale, but one of those, he's like, Mark, we all see that you're different from the rest of us. And he said, we're all stressed out, you know, wondering what's going to happen. Is our bank going to fold? We're talking the Bank of America. Is it going to fold? What's going to happen? And he said, you're different. We can tell you're different because you're not stressed out like we are. You're calm. He said, I know it's because you're a Christian, so I'm going to give you 1 year to convert me. No one's asked me that, but people are watching us. People maybe who aren't followers of Jesus are watching our lives. And are they seeing that you're different because you walk with the Lord? Are you setting an example with your life? Are you obeying these verses? What area does God want to convict you about because you haven't been doing so well? Are you willing to confess that to God? Are you willing to say, God, you know, I want to set an example, but if I'm honest, this area, one of these areas in particular, I haven't been doing so well. And here's what I want to challenge you to do this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a minute, and I want you to just ask God and say, God, man, I want to be an example, but and you know the area, and just list it. You can even ask him. He'll immediately, it'll come to your mind, because that's the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, he convicts you. So what area in your life would you say, God, I want to be example, but if I'm honest, I haven't been doing so well. And I want to just ask you to forgive me. I want to ask you to help me to, would you just change me? I want my life to reflect an example. I want my life to be the way you want it to be. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray? Just by yourself, no one knows what you're doing. No one knows what you're thinking. Would you just pray and say, God, which area do I need to give over more space to you? Which area do I need to let you help me be the example that you're calling me to be? Just ask God and choose one area that God has convicted you about and just tell him, God, I know you want me to be an example in this area, but I've been weak. Please forgive me. I need your Holy Spirit's power to make me like you. I want to obey you. Help me, God. Father, thank you for this, my church family that has heard your word about setting example, and it's for every one of us, no matter our age or our stage of life. I just want to thank you that you've spoken, and you've spoken to hearts who sought you today. You've spoken to me. Lord, I want to be an example in all these areas. Would you help me in the area that I'm weak? Thank you for speaking. Help us to respond in obedience. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.